Clipcentral.com, and we are back with Jeff Miller. He's becoming a regular here. Jeff, are you even dressed up for us today?
I'd like to be here. Thank you.
It's nice to have you here. So the reason we get Jeff in is because Jeff is the boss at Grovest. He knows everything about Section 12J companies, an area of increasing interest for South Africans because it provides us with lots of opportunities that otherwise we would miss out on. A lot of people don't even know about Section 12J, and we spent the first episode just talking a little bit about what they are and how they fit into people's financial planning and how as an investor you can take advantage of Section 12J. But I thought today it would be useful to get you in and talk a little bit about why a lot of people might consider this rather than exchanging their rands into dollars and trying to send it overseas.
Okay, so thanks, Gareth. As you said, that Section 12J has now become a mainstream alternative asset class in, say, in the South African investor's portfolio, or certainly for him to consider. It's now somewhere around 8 billion rand of money assets under management, with a number of Section 12Js out there with a whole lot of different strategies. So it's definitely becoming, I would say, much more mainstream, and each year investors are becoming much more educated and trusting of this actual asset class and are comfortable now to put money into these Section 12J asset classes. The reason why you do it, obviously, is that the underlyings have to be, you know, have to be compelling.
Your fundamentals.
All the business.
Fiduciary responsibilities.
But not also the business, the actual business case needs to be sound.
And this is where, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I wanted to talk, and we'll get into it in a minute, about the different kinds of businesses that you guys look at when you're considering these investments. And it's not everybody. You're not looking at everything in the economy here. You're looking at specific cases.
Yeah, so Section 12J is actually only allowed you to look at certain industries. It's not allowed you to look at any of the sin businesses, which is the tobacco, gambling, sex, any financial services.
Such a pity. I would have been very keen to talk to you.
I think it would be a bit bigger asset class if it had those things in it as well. But notwithstanding, it actually, funny enough, it makes it Sharia compliant to a large degree, because the Muslim community is not allowed to invest in businesses that had all these sin type activities going on. And so by default, by excluding them, it's now become very open for the Muslim investors to invest, because it now complies.
And attractive from that point of view.
Absolutely
sure.
Right.
So, okay, what are the areas that you can be involved in Section 12J? I'm somewhat conversant in these because you've told me already. Renewable energy, particularly solar, right?
Yeah, so solar, alternative renewal strategies or renewal energy, but the most popular is solar energy. And because why? Because it's a 100-year technology. It's been around throughout the rest
so
of the world.
Right?
It comes up every single day. It's not unknown. You've got, I don't know, 50, 60 years of history where one can actually predict how much sunshine you're only actually going to get in a certain area. And the technology works, and it's becoming now far cheaper than brown energy. And we talk about brown energy being the traditional, coal, oil, the Eskom type generation. And this is now the green energy is becoming much cheaper, and one is able to actually peg your increases and not be subjected to double digit, 15-16% Eskom increases that we've been subjected to in the last couple of years.
And what you pointed out there is particularly relevant. It's becoming cheaper to get the solar energy into batteries and to be able to use that solar energy. The actual technology is improving so much that it's becoming cheaper.
Yeah, so solar has come down in price.
And more efficient,
and batteries
right?
are much, much more efficient. And the batteries, which started quite expensive, are come down quite dramatically. And I still think that there's a long way to go for batteries. But by going for solar and batteries, one is able to take yourself off the grid to a large degree, so you're not reliant on the grid, and you can save. Not only are you saving money, but you're also much more reliant on having energy 24 hours a day, 365.
Yeah, and we all know how little we can rely on some of the energy producers, no names mentioned.
Yeah, but I think they do a good job for advertising of the asset class.
They're doing it for you.
Correct.
Let's talk about hospitality. That's another area.
Yeah, so one is not in Section 12J, you're not allowed to invest in fixed property other than in the business of hotel assets or in hospitality business, which is that of providing short-term accommodation and meals for risk and reward. And a lot of people have now, in Section 12J, has actually invested into this particular strategy of hotels. And some very, very big hotels have been built on the back of this Section 12J.
Are you allowed to name names?
Well, I'd say the best to date is the Capital.
Fantastic.
The Capital, it's a success story second to none, and it was funded through a Section 12J structure.
And they really have bought up and built some amazing properties.
It's a success story second to none.
Yeah, and in an economy like this, people are reticent to do it, but they've done and they've put them in the right places.
And yeah, so that's one name. Another one would be the Medluli Safari Lodge, which is a joint venture, a partnership with the Medluli community in the Kruger Park, where they've built a 100-bed lodge.
Wow.
It's a 5-star accommodation at 4-star pricing, mainly international visitors, but will also cater for 30% South African visitors. And there's nothing like that being offered in the area for quality accommodation and being in the Kruger Park, 5 km from Pretoria Scorp.
It's amazing. What about what you are allowed to do in rental and movable assets?
Yeah, so
it's quite a broad category.
Again, you're not allowed to rent fixed assets or the immovable assets. So some of the Section 12Js have now taken, you know, their mandate or their strategy to rent out or lease movable type assets. And this could have been, can be equipment, it can be motor vehicles, it can be billboards, it can be a number of assets which are required by various businesses to grow are movable, where they, you know, that there is an asset underpin and quick liquidity if one needed to get rid of those type of assets, and producing great returns for investors.
Okay, very, very good. I'm going to keep going down the category list here because some of these are obvious to me and others are less so. Private equity investment, but early stage, right?
Yeah, so I think Section 12J was one of the initial themes was, you know, just to invest in early stage SMEs, which is very at the early stage of private equity. More venture capital come private equity. I think what we've seen happen is because we're taking third party monies into these Section 12Js, the investment committees are becoming a lot more, let's say, a conservative, and they're looking to invest in existing businesses in growth capital, rather than very, very early stage. And so why I'm saying to you, and where the money is actually landing is in SMEs, smaller businesses, which normal private equity companies would not consider because they're too small, because it's got to be less than 50 million post money. Gross assets need to be less than 50 million after the injection of the subscription for shares. So it's outside of the radar of traditional private equity, and that's why I call it small private equity.
But that is an area in this economy which is actually doing well and provides quite a lot of the growth where there is growth, right?
Well, South Africa needs growth all around, and the growth is where money is invested and jobs are created. And you go, obviously the people earn salaries and then they take that money and they put it back into the economy, and the treasury earns taxes. So we need to obviously stimulate growth, and I see that the growth from the private sector, being these small SMEs, is where we need, as a country, need to stimulate and invest in order to create growth in South Africa, in order to obviously get us out of the quagmire that we're currently in.
What about tech and impact investments? They're separate categories, but let's start with tech because people are very, you know, they're in love with the idea of technology, but investing in a tech business, you really need to know what you're doing because some of it is smoke and mirrors.
Well, listen, the tech is a very different asset class. It's a high risk. It's the highest risk in all the Section 12Js because there is no asset underpin. It is all blue sky. You're backing some idea with some, you know, some technology behind it that you hope to scale at a high rate, and you know, so your risk is pretty high. So generally, in a portfolio of 10, you're hoping that you're going to get one or two that are going to shoot the lights out. The other eight, you're hoping for mediocrity, or even if they fail, because that's the type of odds that you're currently looking at. But the one or two that do succeed, you're looking for 10 times investment. We call it 10x or more,
right,
and which makes up for the portfolio. And it's quite funny. What you think might be a 10x to start isn't, and what isn't is comes, and
yeah,
because technology changes all the time,
and so does the market, right?
Correct.
So you invent something, and then it's the timing's not right, and it just doesn't have uptake.
Yeah, so it's all about timing. You have to be at the right place at the right time.
Out of all the meetings that you have, I imagine a large proportion of them are around these tech businesses, and also coming to grips with it and understanding what these guys and girls have in mind.
So
it's a lot more complex.
Yeah, it's a lot more complex. I think what we've learned is that when we get involved in tech investments, that we back the jockey, because early stage businesses, not for sissies, you really do fall off the horse. It's a lonely place. It's probably a lot more lonely than any other business, because it's difficult. You always have cash flow constraints. You're always up against huge challenges. But so we look at the jockey, and that's where obviously there has to be a compelling business case behind it, and an idea, and there's got to be scalability, and there's, hopefully we can, you know, internationalize it.
I want to caution anybody who's going to come and waste your time with some idea of an app they've got. You've heard it all before.
Yeah, no, we've seen it. We only invest where we're in these tech businesses where there's existing businesses and that they require growth capital in order to scale it up.
Jeff, what about impact investing? We hear this bandied about. It's even more trendy in some ways than the tech stuff. It's got to do with good citizenship and a kind of community aspect, and kind of making it a business, so it has to generate money, but it also is about what you do with that money, how you involve people, broad-based stuff.
So impact investing is a huge theme, not only in South Africa, but throughout the world, or doing good. And that's to creating jobs, to the environment, etc. So a lot of Section 12Js have gone into impact investments. And the one that I mentioned was Madluli Safari Lodge, which was an impact. So there's creating jobs in the community, upskilling the community. They're sharing in the profits, and then they can build schools and hospitals and whatever else. But then there's also where the corporate South Africa have to spend 3% of their profits on skills development and supply development funds, which is mandatory in order to get for the BEE scorecard. So what a fund does is the WDB Investment Fund, which is a partner with WDB Investments, take the 3% CSI money and from corporates. So not only are they now doing good, they also get in the Section 12J allowance, plus they get points towards a BE scorecard. And those monies get invested into 51% black-owned businesses. So it's trying to stimulate previously disadvantaged entrepreneurs, giving them support in terms of funding, as well as post-investment support by giving them assistance to grow their business.
So, Jeff, imagine I'm potentially an investor. I've got R1 million. I could just convert that into dollars and send it overseas, which a lot of people are doing. What's the case for keeping it here?
Well, I think it's a very compelling case to keep it here. Number one is that as South Africans, if we want to see growth in South Africa, we should be investing in South Africa. So this is a place where we should invest, but I'm not suggesting that you should throw it into an empty pit.
No, don't be sentimental.
Yeah, but so I think we've gone through a tough 10 years, and we certainly are seeing green shoots coming in various industries. We we're seeing sentiment. It's always been very, very low, but we're seeing signs of it being improving. But more importantly, I think that the risk-adjusted return that one that investor gets from investing in a Section 12J, because if you invest 1,000 Rand, you get 450 back from the receiver, so you've got a net investment of 550 Rand. So if you invested your money today at 15 to 1 in dollars, it would have to go to 27 to 1, which is an 80% variance in order for that to be
comparable.
Comparable. So I say that investing in South Africa and the take and the risk of it going to 27 to 1 is I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's a long way to go. Also, that's quite interesting that when people take money offshore, all money, whether it's interest or whether it's capital gains or no matter what it may be, is taxed 100% at the 45% rate in your hands. When here you're actually
getting money
you're getting the money back, and you're investing theoretically 550 Rand and you've got 1,000 Rand working for you. So, I mean, really, as an investor, your investment has to go 50% worse in order for you to break even, because you've already got your tax benefit, which is also a low probability of that happening.
Well, we're going to continue this conversation. Jeff Miller, thank you very much. Grovest is the company to talk to if you're interested in Section 12J companies. They can help you. They can talk you through it. They can also give you the specific advice you might need if you're interested in one of those sectors that we discussed today particularly. But thanks for sharing your expertise with us.
Thanks, Gareth. Thanks for having me.